listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We are happy to welcome back Mr. Greg Palast, investigative reporter, with some powerful new material. His material has everything to do with what will happen without FEMA. He's got a new piece that's extremely troubling. His arm slid off like a chicken wing. Greg Palast, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Glad to be with you, Dennis.
It's good to have you with us. It is not good to understand what's going to happen if FEMA disappears. Why don't you maybe start this way? What's the difference between these six letters? On the one hand, these three, LSU, and on the other hand, IEM. Can you define the letters and what they mean?
Yes. So we're heading into the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, which, by the way, never hit New Orleans. There was a storm surge which destroyed the city. And FEMA and IEM. So right now, by the way, you've picked up 139 bodies from the rivers in Texas. We expect 100 more. And we're about to have a hurricane coming in to Hatteras in the Carolinas. So, but 20 years ago, we had Katrina hit. And right now, Donald Trump wants to eliminate FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, by December. And he's already done a good job of taking it apart. One third of the Emergency Management Agency, which are our lifeguards in the case of a flood, have been fired. And in Texas, the reason why those kids drowned is that DOGE, under Elon Musk and now under this guy, Voight, Elon Musk eliminated a third of the positions in FEMA on the way to eliminating the entire agency. But that included the National Weather Service FEMA coordinator to warn local towns about dangers coming in evacuation. So when Kerr County and Kerrville was facing a massive flash flood, there was no FEMA coordinator because they'd been that position had been eliminated by DOGE. So if we eliminated FEMA, I hope you learn how to swim and keep a raft near your house. And that goes for fires, toxic spills, hurricanes, any disaster. FEMA is there, supposed to be the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And you know, I'm going to tell you, Dennis, every time something goes wrong, everyone says the same thing. Where was the government? Well, you voted to end a government, pinheads. And in Texas, they voted to eliminate. They voted for Donald Trump. They voted to eliminate FEMA, and their kids drowned. So if you want to donate your kids to the MAGA campaign, go right ahead. I'm sorry I'm being harsh about it, but there's no other way to put it. These parents donated their kids to MAGA. They got what they voted for. And, you know, if that sounds cruel, I'm sorry. That's what happened. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because there's other towns that are in danger. And the group IEM, they were, okay, just so you understand, if you watch my film All Washed Away, which I originally did for Democracy Now!, now it's expanded for an hour, which you can get on YouTube, All Washed Away. That film explains how before New Orleans was drowned, Louisiana State University had come up with an elaborate plan to evacuate New Orleans in case of a flood. And the head of the Hurricane Center, by the way, got on British TV on my program a month before the flood in New Orleans and said, this town could be underwater in a month. And he nailed it exactly. It was. They turned down the LSU evacuation plan because George W. Bush decided he was going to privatize evacuation planning, which is exactly what Trump wants to do for all of FEMA. And so they canned the LSU elaborate plan for evacuating the city safely, instead hired this private firm, which had virtually no evacuation plan. And the plan that they had when I finally got my hands on it didn't include 127,000 residents of the New Orleans area who had no automobile to escape. Their whole plan was get in your car and go. Well, a lot of people couldn't get in their car and go. And you'll see in my film, All Washed Away, that, for example, a guy, African-American, Stephen Smith, and it's not accidental that he's African-American. He had no car. He didn't know how to swim. He floated on a mattress and saved several people off of rooftops, took them to a bridge above the water. Helicopters, including George Bush's PR helicopter, flew over them. They couldn't get their attention. And the grandfather on the bridge died because he gave his last bottle of water to his grandchildren. And Stephen Smith had to close his eyes on this dead man. That's what happens when you privatize emergency evacuation planning. That's what Trump wants to do for the entire United States of America.
Absolutely. Greg, tell us about, and this is, one of the things about your journalism is it is straight up and it is not make-believe. Sometimes it sounds fantastic, but it's unbelievable. So tell us about Village Board President Kevin Patrick, and okay. Villa Park, Illinois, and, quote, his arm slid off like a chicken wing.
Okay, this is very important to understand. The way that Trump plays it is that when he takes away all these programs like FEMA, it's all about, you know, getting rid of the welfare for those dark people and the, you know, urban centers, which is, you know, the code, you know, dog whistle for black people. It's not just black people who drown. Yes, in New Orleans, it was mostly black people who drowned. But guess what? You eliminate FEMA. Kevin Patrick is the supervisor, kind of the mayor of the town of Villa Park, Illinois, which is west of Chicago, a little town of 22,000. And he was, he's a career Coast Guard officer. And he was a first responder when Katrina hit. He was the first, his Coast Guard crew was the first into Gulfport, Mississippi. And he talked about pulling dead pregnant women out of the water. And he talked about, he grabbed one corpse and the arm slid off like a chicken wing, he said. And that these nightmares still haunt him. And what he's concerned about when he saw all that devastation. And go to gregpalace.com. You can read about, you can read with Kevin or see the film All Washed Away. It's on YouTube free. And he said, what happens if there's a train wreck in my town? They have a couple of rail lines. Remember, East Palestine had a toxic rail spill in Pennsylvania and or Ohio. And he said, what happens if that happens in my town? Who am I going to call? His only place to call was FEMA. He saw what happens when FEMA fails and this and evacuation is privatized. He pulled the dead bodies out of the water. He said, I don't want that to ever happen in my town. I don't want to see people in my town floating face down on Main Street. And so if you go and see the film, All Washed Away, you'll see Kevin Patrick and pictures from his time at Katrina. But you have to understand, I did I actually worked on an evacuation plan for Long Island, New York. It's the richest area in America, the Hamptons. We spent $20 million on an evacuation plan. How does a town of 22,000 people, how does small town America, which supposedly Donald Trump loves, how do they plan for a disaster? What the heck do they do if they can't call FEMA, if they can't get evacuation plans, if they can't get help? He's scared because he saw what happened. And it gives him nightmares. And he says, that's going to happen to me unless we stop Trump's privatization of FEMA and the elimination of Federal Emergency Management Agency. No, if you have a flood or if you have a toxic spill and people are dying, you're supposed to call Walmart? We appreciate your call. Hold on. No. Understand that there are consequences as he said, if FEMA dies, a lot of Americans are going to die.
We're talking to Greg Palast. We're talking about, really, plans by Donald Trump. And believe me, these are on the front burner. He wants to cancel, essentially, FEMA, privatize FEMA. And what happens, and it's already begun, Greg. I mean, they're already experiencing the suffering. The towns are being hit. The storms are stirring up. And people are facing the reality that there is no help. There is going to be no help. Some people are panicking. Other people don't really realize what's about to happen. We have a bad season of storms, and we're gonna see a lot of Katrina revised.
You know, first of all, and then plus the viciousness of it. In California here, I'm calling from L.A., was on fire. Trump has refused any help for Maryland, a state with a Democratic government. They refused what's automatically given is emergency help. Really? You're whether you're in a red state or blue state is whether you live or die? Well, the problem is whether you're in a red state or blue state, let me tell you, if they get rid of FEMA, you're all going to die. And I'm sorry to put it in stark terms, but that's literally what we're looking at.
We're looking down the barrel of this gun of the next storm, that's for sure. Greg, what do you suppose people can do? I mean, they can learn a lot. They can learn a lot from your work. Are there organizations at the grassroots level? We know that we remember interviewing Raheem some time ago. He's in the first version of your film. But how are people preparing, and what are they doing? What kind of resistance is there at this point?
Here's the problem. I mean, if you watch my film All Washed Away, yes, when I originally did it for you and Amy Goodman, after Katrina 20 years ago, now it's been updated, and here's the problem. Raheem Malik, he rebuilt housing for the people whose houses were washed away in New Orleans. Well, we didn't know when, after the film, that first version of the film, now you'll find in the second, is that the landlords of that building, after this community group put in thousands of hours of sweat equity and literally put in a couple million dollars of their own money, the landlord just took the property back. And that's what happens. New Orleans become a real estate hotspot. The black people in Ninth Ward have not come back. Instead, it's become Yuppieville. They tore down, as you'll see in my film, they tore down the public housing and Lafitte housing, which, by the way, was not one of the only pieces of housing not affected by Katrina because it was up on high ground. But they tore it down anyway because it was in between the downtown and the French Quarter. And so this was going to be – so they turned it – they tore down all these this wonderful public housing. It was wonderful. There's one of the rare public housing things. It was little townhouses and stuff, beautiful. They tore it all down so they can make yuppie housing and eliminate black folk. But you ask what can be done, and it segues into the other work I do on voting. Listen, when Katrina hit, before Katrina hit, Louisiana was a blue state. It was a majority, it was a Democratic state with a Democratic governor, Democratic senators. When the hurricane hit, it wiped out all them black people. And suddenly the voter list turned. It was washed lily white. And so Louisiana turned Republican. And I'm not being partisan about it. That's just the damn effect of what happens. Listen, the Republican Party was not unhappy about a flood that wipes people out. You talk about Hatteras and some of these small black beach communities that are, as we speak, are being faced with hurricane wipeout. You know what? The GOP is going to be happy with that because they don't want these people, folks, to vote. And that's the other part of this. You can never dissociate these actions from the effect on voting and who controls our democracy.
Talk about the group called Innovative Energy Management, because they're the ones
Go on, please. Well, Innovative Emergency Management, IEM. While LSU had given the federal government, given the state government, given New Orleans a whole plan to safely evacuate the city of New Orleans in case of a storm surge or hurricane, which is what happened. You'll see it in the film All Washed Away. Yeah, go to gregpalace.com. It's free. Innovative Emergency Management took away the contract using their connections to George W. Bush at the time in 2005. Took away the contract from LSU, which, by the way, offered their program for free. But IEM was getting a big fee from the Bush guys to come up with an evacuation plan for New Orleans, even though they had a good one. And why were they picked? Number one, they were giving tons of money to the Republican Party. They had zero experience in emergency evacuation. The second thing is that they claimed that they had Bill Clinton's FEMA director, James Lee Witt, who was legendary for his competence in evacuation. They said he was on their team. That's how they got the contract from the Bush guys. But he told me he had nothing to do with these people. He didn't know who the hell they were. So they used flimflam to get this privatized contract, which didn't include any plan for people without cars. Well, who are they? Poor people, right? It's not like rich people don't have cars. And so we know what color those people were. And they were the ones who went floating face down, 1,500 people in Louisiana. And IEM, when I went to their offices to ask them, where is this emergency evacuation plan? Because I called Bush's Homeland Security, where FEMA is under Homeland Security, Kristi Noem right now. And I said, where's the evacuation plan? They said, it's a national security secret. I said, wait a minute. How do you have an evacuation plan that's a secret? How do people evacuate? How does anyone know where to evacuate? Well, you know, it's like this is the crazy stuff. It was all flimflam to cover over the fact that they really had no plan. And I went to IEM's office in Baton Rouge, and they were the executives of the company. When I walked into their office with the camera, they literally physically hid from me. And then I had to call them and speak to them. I said, you know, you're like 12 feet from me. Finally, some spokesman came out, and I said, where's your plan for evacuating New Orleans? And their response was to call the police on me and have me thrown out. Now, here's the kicker. Innovative Emergency Management, these guys who basically had a plan which ended up with 1,500 people dead in New Orleans, who lied about James Lee Witt, this same company has a contract with DOGE right now. On emergency evacuation plan. So if we get rid of FEMA, that's who you get. These scoundrels, and I don't use the word scoundrels easily. I'm now a columnist for Raw Story. I don't think your lawyers will let me say that. It's like this is what you're going to get when they privatize FEMA. You're going to get people who have no idea how to plan an emergency evacuation. You're on your own. And that's what scares the hell out of Kevin Patrick, this supervisor for this little town. He says, we understand what happens when you're all alone and you have a toxic spill, a flood, a fire, tornadoes hit. You're supposed to be able to call FEMA. He says, what happens when we can't? It's bad enough. There's no one to call. We're on our own. People will die. That's just that simple.
It's amazing. Listen, Greg, that's extraordinary information. We are speaking with Greg Palace, gregpalace.com. We're talking about the end, what will happen if FEMA is totally privatized and there is no ability to respond to some of the more difficult storms that people are facing now as global warming kicks in. The other side, if they don't kill all the brown and black people in storms without protection, they're certainly going to make sure that they can vote and speak out about it. And the other thing that you've really devoted a great deal of your time to, Greg, very effectively, is working to defend people's right to vote. And we're hearing a lot about, I thought of you, and we're hearing a lot about the inability to vote by mail, to have mail-in ballots. Could you talk a little bit about the implications around that? Because nobody knows more about this than you.
The implications are two words, Jim Crow. Let me tell you something, Dennis. In most states, African Americans vote 70% in advance, either by mail or by early voting. And this is a whole program to shut down early voting and vote by mail. Let me give you some numbers that should just make you feel sick, I hope, which is Georgia, where I concentrate on. In 2020, Joe Biden won by 11,000, 12,000 votes in Georgia for one reason, is that Georgia mailed out ballots to every voter in the state because of COVID. But then what happened is that 1.1 million people used those mail-in ballots and put them in drop boxes. So they passed a law, SB 202, which eliminated drop boxes, cut early voting from 60 days to 9 days. And the result was predictable. Going from 1.1 million mail-in ballots put in drop boxes to 100,000. That is a 90% reduction in the number of mail-in ballots put in drop boxes. 90% reduction. And guess what? African Americans vote 70% early or by mail. They knew exactly whose votes they were blocking. It was almost entirely in Atlanta. And that's how Donald Trump flipped the state from blue to red in 2024. You know, forget all the BS about, you know, the manosphere and all that. It's because they knocked out early voting, and they knocked out drop box voting, and they knocked out mail-in voting. That's what happened. You have, in most states, you have a majority of African Americans, again, voting by mail and voting early. The reason is, for example, if you go to gregpowles.com, you'll see me walking along a line in Atlanta for people voting. It was a two-hour line to get in to vote. I go to the white suburbs. There's not only no line, there's like a line of voting workers waiting for people to vote. Zero wait. 2 hours if you're in the black community, zero wait if you're in the white community. And therefore, black people learn, let's mail in our vote. But then that's under attack too. But if you get rid of, you know, I'm stunned that the Democratic Party has not looked at this issue of mail-in voting. I've been screaming about if they take away mail-in voting, there'll never be another Democrat elected in any swing area in America. And it's not that I'm for or against. I don't care. You vote Democratic, you vote for Republican. That's up to you. But we shouldn't have rules which make it impossible or difficult for you to vote. And people in the black community don't want to wait. I mean, I was in Ohio. People were waiting 7 hours to vote in Cleveland.
And they constructed laws, right, Greg? They constructed laws. If when the people are waiting 2 and 3 and 4 hours, it became a crime to bring water to them, to help them refresh themselves. So people are sort of fainting on the line.
You have elderly people, you have old people waiting, and you have to understand the Georgia heat. So in the Georgia heat, you're waiting 3 hours in line to vote. Again, this is only in black communities. only in Black communities. And in those Black communities, you're waiting 3-4 hours in line in the Georgia sun. And if you give someone a bottle of water, you've committed a felony crime. If you give someone a slice of pizza because they're waiting and they're hungry, you're committing a felony crime. I mean, it's all, you know, it's about, if you want to vote, it's going to be cruel. It's going to be difficult. You're going to wait. You're going to fry. You know, this is the games that they play. I mean, I just saw horrible stuff when the cops stopped. There was a 2-hour line. People showed up at like 30 seconds before closing time, and the cops said, no, you can't vote. This is America. You know, we play all these games with voting. And then on top of it, they, you know, so one of the things that Trump is saying is that, oh, we have to get rid of mail-in balloting because it's easy to commit fraud. Well, I got to tell you, the Republican Party went through those mail-in ballots, like in some cases, 5 times, Dennis, 5 times. They didn't find not one single illegal ballot. You can't, it's the reason you can't, if you look at your ballot in California, most of your listeners in California, if you look at your ballot, a mail-in ballot in California, it has a barcode on it. Yes, your vote is secret, but not your name or your ballot. That's on the outside. Every single voter has a specific barcode that goes with their name. So you can't vote a second time. Someone can't take your vote and vote for you. It can't be done. They checked every one of these ballots. The Republican Party, they couldn't find one, not one. But yet on this concept, oh, it's going to be fraudulent. And you don't have any of the media saying, well, name us like 3 fraudulent voters. You're stopping. And understand, the majority of America, and I want to emphasize this, the majority of Americans vote by mail. The majority of America. So you're not just talking about a few random people. You're talking about the country. But they know it used to be Republicans who voted by mail in the majority. Now it's overwhelmingly Democrats. And suddenly, voting by mail, since the Democrats become the majority, especially voters of color, suddenly it's a crime. Suddenly it's fraudulent. Show me a fraudulent voter. Okay, then I'll agree. I haven't seen one. Literally not one, not one.
That's extraordinary. And really, as you say, the Democrats have been asleep at this one, asleep at the wheel on this one, and it's only going to get a lot worse. I mean, just as a general overview, how many people might be disqualified? What percentage of the people, in terms of these new laws and the way people have to work to right now to get a ballot, it's going to be more and more difficult to get a ballot. You're going to need more and more precise IDs. How can we sort of evaluate how this can or might undermine the ability to have free and fair elections?
Well, you've asked the right guy because I used to teach statistics. So without getting too detailed, if you go to gregpalace.com and you see the article, Trump Lost, Vote Suppression Won, Here are the Numbers, you'll see that if it weren't for vote suppression tactics, that's all the games with stopping people from mailing in their votes, purging voter rolls, disqualifying ballots, challenging ballots. It's about 3.45 million votes, 3.5 million votes, right, basically. And it's not all the votes. They can't steal all the votes all the time. But if they steal 3.5 million votes in the right states, there you are, buddy. And, you know, we have a Senate on the line. We have the House on the line. And people are talking about the gerrymandering of the Democrats. I'd be much more concerned about, I mean, you got to be concerned about everything. About gerrymandering, you've got to be. But right now we're going through massive purges of the voter rolls, 440,000 people in Georgia. We had about 700,000 in Pennsylvania, a swing state, 135,000 in Wisconsin. These are serious things. We are heading into 2026 into an electoral meat grinder. It has nothing to do with whether the people are for or against the Trump administration. It's about whether American citizens are allowed to vote. And if you can't, if they knock out voting by mail, and a lot of people won't know this, they'll expect their ballots in the mail, or they don't realize that they need some type of special, like in Texas, you need a doctor's letter to say you can't vote in person. I mean, this is insane. In fact, and what's interesting about it is that, and horrific, is that Ken Paxton, who is the Attorney General of Texas, and Ken Paxton, who, by the way, is running for Senate, and who is also impeached for corruption. Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, said, if we didn't stop mail-in balloting in Texas, Donald Trump would have lost the state. Think about that. That's how important mail-in balloting is. He literally said, if we didn't stop mail-in balloting in Texas, Donald Trump would have lost Texas. That's quite so.
Well, he's not going to lose Texas now.
Yeah.
He's making sure that that there's no problem this round, because there's not going to be any Democrat majority districts. So the combination of the repression of voting, the various ways that you're describing, and the sort of the new quest to shut it down, free and fair elections are becoming a thing of the past.
Well, here's the good news. The good news, Dennis, is they can't steal all the votes all the time. I told you how in the last election, vote suppression, I was able to calculate it pretty carefully through, because of new government statistics, about 3.5 million votes were lost through vote suppression, you know, disqualifications, people being challenged, people being turned away, et cetera. But that's 3.5 million votes. So the answer is you better have 4.5 million votes to overcome it. So they can't steal all the votes all the time. But if you expect fair elections, an election where 51% wins the election, you know, come on. It's time to grow up on that. But it is also not just that we don't accept it. What we do is fight it. And I'm working with the NAACP, Black Voters Matter Fund, Reverend Jackson Rainbow Push, on trying to attack these efforts and going to voters, getting them re-registered. Tell everyone you know, especially in swing states, 60 days before election, check your registration. You know, there's some basic things you need to do to protect your vote. In 22 states now, you can actually register on election day, bring your ID. There's things you can do to protect yourself and people you know, and then join the organizations that are fighting it. Has there ever been a movement, labor movement, women's movement, you know, you name it, certainly the civil rights movement, no progress has ever been made without a struggle, without effort. I know it would be nice, like Obama says, hey, it only takes 10 minutes to vote. Maybe you're Obama and they push the Secret Service pushes you to the front of the line, but it doesn't take 10 minutes to vote. It takes a lot of work to protect your vote and people you know. You got to join the organizations and get active, because they are working very hard, because, you know, Trump knows that if there's a fair vote, he's gone and his cronies are gone if there's a fair vote. But there's not
all
a
right,
fair
we're vote. Gonna, not a fair vote. All right, we're going to leave it right there, Greg Palast. GregPalast.com. You want to know more about information around voting. You want to hear sound. You want to see that film and really get scared, check it out, Greg Palast, gregpalast.com. Greg, thank you for taking the time out